Thank you. Awesome today. Wonderful tributes, wonderful sentiments. And now we turn to sacred scripture today. Have you ever overheard perhaps a young child's prayer? Dear God, bless mommy, daddy, my sister, and Rover, and my skateboard, and Jimmy, except when he hits me, and bless my grandmother, and let her bring me some chocolate chip cookies. No, let it be ice cream, and don't let her yell at me for playing in the mud, but please let Grandpa come so that he can help me fix my bicycle. And the prayer goes on and on until the sand slips into the young eyes of the sleepy boy and his prayers blend into his dream world. Sometimes it's hard to pray. Deep prayers are often unclear and speak in circles because the deep experiences of the soul are difficult to find words for. Prayer is much like the first weeks of romance. When young people fall in love, it is often described as head over heels in love. That is the rolling of emotions into a mixture of desire and anticipation, fear and dread. When one reads a text message between two young lovers, even the most clear thinking among us must admit confusion. But when a young couple continues to explore the confusing depths of their feelings, desires, and fears, these emotions often fade, and there is at the depth a discovery that rises up that they both really care about each other. Oh, they see more clearly, and they know each other more completely. But it's more than that. They feel a connection with each other that is not simply swirling emotions. They do not simply oogle at each other, but see with clarity they have much in common and that they are connected in a deep sense of the word. They are deep reaching out to deep. They love the true self in each other. When we wander through the 17th chapter of John, very long, we discover that there is a central core of this prayer which may not be put into one sentence, but is felt and experienced as the words roll over and around and through us. The core of this prayer found in the book of John is that Jesus has a burning desire that the communion that he experiences with God be experienced by his disciples, you and me today. The prayer of Jesus is an experience of the divine self-yearning of the oneness which was intended at creation. It is the yearning of the soul to connect and to commune with the created. Prayer, you see, is a descent into the very core of oneself in order to discover God speaking with us. Imagine, if you will, that several people are building homes together. Separate, but building together. Each home is distinct and different and reflects the values and resources of that person. Each person then digs a well. It is drilled and each one hits water. And each one then has a private well. But we all know that the well isn't private. We know that the water comes from a common source. The groundwater surfaces in a unique private well, but it is connected to a common pool. When one prays, one drills down through the unique private property and hits water which will nourish the soul. We are all drawing from the same pool. That pool is the Spirit of the living God. It is available through all and in all, and it is the one in whom we all live and move and have our being. You see, to really pray is to descend into the common source of all of life and discover that which makes us one. And that is God, creator and source of life. When we pray, we discover that we are much like all other persons. We have the same yearnings for affection and acceptance, for love and peace. We have the same fears for our children, the same hopes for our daughters and sons. We long for some sense of security and essential meaning in life. When we pray, we get in touch with God that connects us with one another. Therefore, in prayer, we recognize our oneness, and in prayer, we discover that we are bonded to each other and have empathy for each other. We are all in this together. In prayer, we discover we are connected to each other the way the parent is connected to a child. Many a mother and father will tell you of times in which they have experienced the depth of the pain of their children before their children has even spoken of it. There is a connection that is between persons that have been a part of each other's lives and who have felt and known the pain and the joy that is in all of life. The prayer of Jesus is that we become one. We are to live in that oneness, growing in the love of Christ for the salvation of our world. That oneness is meant not merely for our own enjoyment, but it is our mission. Christian unity bears witness to the unity of Jesus with God. John Chrysostom, an early Christian bishop, argued that the world could come to believe in Jesus by seeing the transformed lives of Jesus' followers, and that that transformation would be most obvious by the fact that the Christian disciples were living in peace with one another. He wrote that the world would know the teacher by its disciples. When Christian communities exist in harmony and unity, it points to Jesus, the teacher of peace. When Christian community breaks down, its failure and conflict and chaos undermine the mission to the world. Jesus does not pray that we would all believe the same, or worship the same, or feel the same. He prayed that we would be one. And he doesn't command our unity. He prays for it. Which is to say, he knows we can't do it on our own. Our unity is grounded not in ourselves, but in God. Christian community is not a result of human effort. It is a result of the oneness of God among us. What this means is that the wholeness and the unity of our community is based not on dogma, not on opinion, not on feelings, and not on efforts, but on a shared experience of God dwelling among us. In the end, this is the reason Ross Community United Methodist Church has come into being and is alive to this day. Because we have been a transformative encounter, have had that with the living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus' prayer was for his immediate followers as well as for the church throughout history. From that day to this day and forward to the last day. But the prayer was not just for Christians in general. It was for us specifically. Jesus prayed his prayer specifically for Ross Community United Methodist Church. Can we see evidence of its being answered today? How is it answered in your life? Jesus prays that we may be one. Not together simply because we have a lot of stuff in common, or just because we enjoy each other's company. We are together because of our relationship with Him. We are united by God's work in us and among us. We become one through our shared experience of His love and our common mission to share that love. Is Jesus' prayer being answered among us? Do we as individuals and as a community of faith have a living and active, transforming relationship with God in Christ? Is that relationship our central purpose? Are we experiencing something of our relationship with God that we cannot help but share with the world? If the answer to any of those questions is no, Jesus shows us the way. He does not give us an instruction book on how to be the church. He lets us hear him pray. He shows us what it means to have a real and vital and intimate relationship with God. He expects us to pursue that relationship too. He expects us to pray as he did. And he keeps on praying for us. Scripture tells us that he still intercedes for us. Even now, there are prayers on his lips. Prayers for us, that we may know God, and that we may be one. Every day, Jesus is praying this prayer over each of our lives and over the life of our church. They are yours, God. Let your love be in them. Make them one. And let the world know that your love through them is strong. His prayer for us does not cease. What is left for us now but to join our prayers with his and lift our lives and the life of this church to God, that God might shape it to to be an answer to such a prayer as this. As Jesus prayed, so may we. The name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen.